You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today it is Crossover Wednesday. I'll be joined by Brad Motter of Locked On Rams to preview everything you need to know for Sunday night's matchup. Brad and I have a lot to get into it, so I will turn it over to him to get us going.
All right, welcome in all Locked On podcast listeners. It's the Wednesday edition, so that means it is a Locked On crossover. I am Bear Motter, host of Locked On Rams. We've got Lauren Cox with us, Locked On Bears. We're going to talk about this awesome, exciting matchup we have this Sunday night, under the lights, in the cold, primetime, Sunday night football. Lauren, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I'm excited for, you know, not only the biggest test of the year for the Bears, but it really should be a fun matchup between, you know, a Rams team going up against a Bears defense that's got some pretty strong resume so far this season.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to kind of circle about this game that's really exciting. Obviously, Sunday night, prime time, the whole nation is watching. We've got two defensive players that individually can win a game by themselves, and both teams have, you know, been seen on the back of those players and creating things. And you talked about our high-flying offense, which against the Lions didn't really play, even though we scored 30 points, didn't really have that same feeling as it did last week. But your defense can match up against any offense out there. So a lot of storylines here, and I want to kind of start with where we came from, because I just mentioned that Lions game that we went and won on the road, and it was a little bit of a struggle. The score really doesn't play to the game as far as how it was played, but you guys are coming off of a loss out in New York, a game that you played, you know, second game with your backup quarterback. For all signs sound like Mitchell Trubisky is coming back, but talk to me about that game and you know, what does it do to this team? Because I didn't know if I wanted you guys to win or wanted you to lose emotionally. How do you think they're coming into this week coming off that loss?
So Probably the most concerning thing about that game was just the quality or lack thereof of that defense that we've been talking about. That it seemed like for the first time all season, or maybe not all season, but the first time in a while since Khalil Mack has been healthy and, you know, everything seems to be in order, the defense was vulnerable, particularly to Eli Manning and a Giants offense that hasn't particularly scared a ton of people this year. I know the Giants have kind of quietly played a lot closer against quality opponents than their 4-8 record might suggest, but still, giving up 30 points and going into overtime before the loss to the Giants is not the confidence-boosting performance you want to see before this team takes on an offense like the Rams. And, you know, some of it was a lack of pass rush. Some of it was just a lack of energy as they went down the stretch. It was really hard to pin down exactly any, you know, one thing that seemed to go wrong. It was just kind of everything falling apart at the same time. So going into a game against the Rams when this defense will need to be at its absolute best, there's some cause for concern about why and how things started to go a little bit awry last week, which I guess is mirroring what happened offensively for the Rams. So maybe it's a good time for both of these teams.
You're right. It's going to be kind of an interesting game after both those games that the teams just had, where, you know, neither were extremely impressive. The Rams were coming off the bye, so maybe a little shaky coming off that. And then again, you know, we talked about you going back-to-back games with your backup quarterback, and Chase Daniels didn't play terrible, but he wasn't obviously good enough to go in there and for them to lean on him at big times to really make the moment. I know Cohen had a big touchdown pass at the end of the game that kind of caught people off surprise, which again just kind of goes into what can't that man do? It seems like returning kicks and punts and then, you know, running the ball, catching the ball, and now obviously throwing the ball. So he's a very dangerous guy that the Rams are going to have to, you know, really game plan for. But kind of looking, and you talked about that Bears defense, they gave up 125 yards on the ground to Barkley, which almost mirrors what Todd Gurley had this last game. I think he had like 127 or 128, something like that, a little bit over that mark. But, you know, coming off that where your defense didn't play too well against the run, how are they going to adjust to things, and who's going to be kind of the big factor in stopping Todd Gurley in the running game of the Rams?
So the Bears haven't particularly had the strongest run defense this season. And for the, I mean, they were on a nice stretch there, you know, when they played like the Jets and the Bills and even the Lions the first time and some of the Vikings. But, you know, they gave up a lot of rushing yards against the Dolphins and Patriots. And, you know, even 2 weeks ago against the Lions, LeGarrette Blount went for almost 100 yards. And it doesn't always necessarily negatively affect them. I mean, obviously it's never a good thing, but it hasn't always been the true detriment of this defense, despite the box score numbers not necessarily looking good. But a lot of that comes down to the linebacker play. You know, Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith, you hear those two names and they are two very well-known and quality starting inside linebackers. But at times this season, they have struggled to get off blocks on the interior and really make those plays near the line of scrimmage. That you'll see Roquan and Trevathan less so rack up pretty big tackle numbers. I think Roquan's hit double digits in a few games and leads the Bears in tackles this season, if I'm not mistaken. But a lot of those tackles in the running game happen 6 or 7 or 8 yards downfield from the line of scrimmage, as to where it's not really him making a good play, it's just kind of him preventing a potentially bigger play. So they, you know, they haven't been able to get that penetration from the linebackers. That they get it from the defensive line pretty well, but it's that second level where it seems like running backs are able to break free and at least have a little bit more space once they get through that first level. And I anticipate that being an issue with Todd Gurley. The question for me becomes, how much does that ultimately end up impacting the final score? You know, I think a lot of it's going to come down to what Jared Goff is able to do, and certainly what this Bears offense is able to do in taking care of the football and not giving the Rams extra opportunities to score.
Yeah, it's a good point. And one thing that the Lions did pretty well was keeping the ball out of Jared Goff's hands. I mean, he was struggling to get the offense going, but their offense was able to rush the ball and keep that time of possession in their favor and keep Jared Goff off the field and never allowing him to really get in a flow. I think that's going to be huge for the Bears. Having the home field advantage and a monster defense, you know, keep your defense on the side as much as you can and let that offense kind of milk some clock. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We've got a lot more to get into here with Bear Motter, Lauren Cox, Wednesday edition, Locked On Rams. We'll be right back after this.
This Bears-Rams game is going to be fun to watch, but it's even more entertaining when you have some action on the games. You've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still sitting on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. Right now, the Rams are 3.5-point favorites on MyBookie, and if you sign up this week, MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. MyBookie's been in this business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 50% bonus on your deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, everybody, we are back. This is our second segment. I am Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. We've got Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears. Go find us on social media at Locked On Bears, at Locked On Rams. My personal is at LA underscore Rambling Bear. Lauren, where can everyone find your personal account and some of the information you put up?
At Cox Sports One. I always say it's Fox Sports One, but with a C.
There you go. There you go. My man's got his own network going on. Go follow him. He puts up a lot of great content throughout the week. And then obviously 5 days a week here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, also give us a subscribe. Go follow us. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Leave a review. 5-star would be nice, but let us know what you think. Always interact. All of us are love having you guys listen and love interacting with you. So go find us, follow, do all that stuff, do all that social media stuff. But we're talking Bears. We're talking Rams. We're talking Sunday night. You mentioned that defense, and you know we haven't even gotten to mention our defense yet. So we'll kick in right now. We'll talk about Aaron Donald, and we've got Khalil Mack. And I'm going to toss up a tough question here. And let's say you're drafting tomorrow, and you start your franchise on a defense. I'll give you the opportunity to take either Mack or Aaron Donald. I know who your guy is, but talk to me about that and maybe why you would make that pick.
Yeah, you know, The pro football focused analyst in me says, take Aaron Donald, that he is so much, even more so an outlier than Khalil Mack is. And Khalil Mack is a defensive player of the year candidate himself. And, you know, arguably one of the best, if not the best, edge rushers in the NFL. I mean, probably right up there, Von Miller and him going head-to-head for that top spot. But there is no other interior pass rusher that compares to Aaron Donald. And a lot of the analytics we've been running at PFF lately have been looking into how much interior pressure affects a quarterback compared to pressure from the edge. And it seems that rushes from right up the middle. It seems a little bit intuitive, but that pass rush right up the middle is more disruptive in terms of affecting the quarterback on a play and obviously his ability to get the pass off in spite of it. So I am team Aaron Donald in that debate, but it's obviously a close one, and there's no discounting how much value a guy like Khalil Mack adds to the defense. And certainly the Bears have seen such an impressive performance from him and a super large increase from just the level of play of everyone else around him since they added him on the defense.
Yeah, and I got to apologize to all the Locked On Bears listeners out there because that was a trick question. I know Lauren's got a Pro Football Focus background, so I kind of set that one up. So everyone out there that, you know, wants him to support your team, I saw that coming. That was a trick question, and he didn't fall for it. You're right. They're just interior defense. There's no other guy like him in the NFL. And both those guys making a push for Defensive Player of the Year. But Aaron Donald is on his way making a push for an MVP candidate. And I'm not sure if the writers and whoever else really votes on that, if they're going to really allow that to happen. But he's got a few games left to really make some noise. He's at 16.5 sacks for a defensive lineman. I think that's third best all-time in the NFL. He's got a lot of time left. And Mitch Trubisky is coming off of an injury. And so talk to me about that offensive line and how do they game plan for a guy like this? Because the Lions really gave him a couple too many one-on-one matchups, and I'm sure the Bears are watching that film going, why the heck did you do that? But talk to me about how you game plan. We got Talib back. This defense looked really good. Only gave up 3 points in the first half. How do the Bears, with you know Mitch Trubisky coming back off that injury, try to get this offense to move the football?
So I don't know if there is a successful game plan for slowing down Aaron Donald. I mean, you would know better than me, but I don't think we've seen any team really do that for four quarters. So the Bears are in a particularly tough situation here because at left guard is rookie second-round pick James Daniels, who has played well for a rookie second-round pick, but is not, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber guard yet by any means. And then at right guard, Kyle Long is on injured reserve, so right now it is journeyman Brian Witzman, who used to play for Matt Nagy with the Chiefs and I think spent some time as a backup for the Minnesota Vikings and couldn't crack the starting lineup there and has been very below average the last few weeks. So both guard spots are arguably the most vulnerable of any of the spots on this offensive line. The center, Cody Whitehair, has been playing well this season, a former second-round pick himself, and I imagine you'll see a lot of slide protections to James Daniels' side or to whatever side Aaron Donald is lining up to try and get that center and guard double team on him as much as possible. But then, you know, if Cody Whitehair is helping James Daniels to the left with Aaron Donald, you're leaving Ndamukong Suh maybe one-on-one with Brian Witzman at right guard or vice versa, Suh one-on-one with James Daniels. And there's just, I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to protect against this pass rush. You're going to see running back left in pass protection, but they're not going to do that with Tariq Cohen. And Jordan Howard doesn't have, you know, a ton of experience doing that and hasn't been asked to do that a ton. So I maybe we'll see more of Benny Cunningham, one of their other running backs who's a little bit better, a former Ram, you would know, who's a little bit better in pass protection. And certainly they'll leave more tight ends in to help. Maybe if you help more on the edge, then you can just assign more interior players to the defensive tackles. But I think they got to just work on getting rid of the ball as quickly as possible. Maybe some play action in there to try and get Donald, you know, going after the ball carrier and some rollouts and moving pockets just to get Trubisky out of the center of that pocket where the interior pass rush is coming.
Yeah, I think you kind of finished with some of the very important things that we saw a lot at the beginning of the year, the Rams defense and quarterbacks getting rid of the ball. It was basically drop, one, two, throw. And somewhere throughout the season, people stopped going to that. I know they try to do it at the beginning of the game, and then as the game wears down, your offensive line gets a little bit tired, your quarterback starts looking further down the field, that kind of goes out the window. But we haven't seen a lot of that as much lately, and it's allowing Aaron Donald to get in there, and basically it feels like he's averaging two sacks a game this last, you know, handful of games. So they're going to have to figure out something. You're right, some slide protections, but the one thing that's been really great for the Rams in the past few games, and I think is going to to be a big part of them closing the season and into the playoffs is the play of guys like Corey Littleton and Ibukam and Fowler, who we added from the Jaguars not too long ago. All those guys' arrows are pointing up. They've been involved in some big plays. Littleton was brought in on a blitz and came through clean. So that's the crazy thing about this defense and what we kind of expected going into the season as we signed all these free agents. On paper, we seemed like this defense that was going to perform, you know, top two, top three in the league. And they kind of hadn't really shown that yet. Obviously, we had Tlaib out for 8 weeks. We get him back last week, and all of a sudden we play great. So we're hoping that that leadership, will continue to extend. But as we're talking defense, I want to jump back over to you guys. And Khalil Mack gets all the attention, a lot like Aaron Donald gets a lot of the attention over here. Talk to me about some guys on the defense. Who would you think is probably someone that needs to get recognized a lot more on that defense that's not getting the hype?
Well, it's sometimes hard to judge hype properly because, for example, a guy like Akeem Hicks continues to get just effusive praise in Chicago. And I think as they've had more national games, he's becoming a name known more outside of the world of the Bears fandom. And he is making a pretty strong Pro Bowl push this year so far. So, I mean, he's a guy that is still, I consider, underrated and not well enough known outside of the city of Chicago because he is very clearly probably their second best defensive player overall. Just phenomenal in the running game. He gets one or two tackles for loss a game consistently every week and gets pressure after the quarterback as well as most quality interior defensive linemen, Aaron Donald notwithstanding. But, you know, besides those two guys, Kyle Fuller is having a really strong season. He's tied with the league for interceptions at 6 at that cornerback position. Eddie Jackson, the second-year safety, is taking that next step as a pretty consistent playmaker on the back end and getting some big turnovers in there as well. And, you know, even in the middle of that defensive line, Eddie Goldman, the nose tackle, not a guy that puts up big numbers in any of the traditional stats, but in terms of just kind of occupying blocks and at least trying to free up the linebackers behind him, it hasn't always worked that well for the linebackers behind him, but Eddie Goldman on that interior is one of the under the radar nose tackles out there in the league. They feel comfortable with having different guys that can threaten offenses from a pass rushing standpoint with Mack on one side, Floyd occasionally getting some pressure opposite him. You know, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio doesn't blitz a ton, but when he does, it seems to be pretty effective with defensive backs coming off the edge. So they'll stunt a lot. They'll get some different pressures from Mack and Hicks and line them up all over and just try and throw as many different things as they can at this Rams offensive line.
Well, they're going to get their shot on a national televised game to get some more hype for their name, as we say there. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside. We're going to be back. We're going to do some predictions. We're going to talk about keys to the game and more. I'm Bear Motter, Locked On Rams. We also got Lauren Cox with us from Locked On Bears. We'll be right back after this.
This Crossover Wednesday episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing with heat on demand at the touch of a button. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They're powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that can last up to 12 hours on each charge, and Action Heat batteries can even be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. They've got everything from heated jackets to socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Right now, they've got a special deal for Locked On Bears listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
All right, guys, it is game week. It's Wednesday, crossover edition. We've got Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears and Bear Motter from Locked On Rams. We're talking the awesome matchup that is this weekend. As we look at this game, we've talked about the offense. We've talked about the defense. How are we going to stop Gurley? How are we going to stop Mack? There's a lot of things going on. But talk to me about maybe a couple keys to victory for you guys. If the Bears are going to come out with a win on Sunday, what are the things they're going to need to do?
So some of the things we've talked about certainly apply with Mitchell Trubisky being able to get rid of the ball quickly and still being able to move the offense vertically. They can be a little bit stale sometimes, especially if the pass rush is getting home, and he's been vulnerable to just blitzes in general as well, trying to properly recognize them pre-snap and get the ball out as a result. And so the Bears will need to find ways to have Trubisky get time to throw to be able to at least incorporate some threat of a downfield passing attack in addition to some of the mismatches they can get underneath with guys like Tariq Cohen and Trey Burton and Taylor Gabriel. And so I think from that standpoint, you know, the running game isn't something that's been consistent at any point in this season, and they won 8 of their first 11 games as a result. So I don't think they're going to be too concerned if the running game can't get going once again. But from a passing standpoint, they need to not be limited to the underneath game. And then on the other side of the ball, getting a consistent pass rush is always the key for this defense. It's what allows Kyle Fuller to play so aggressive this season and get those turnovers. You know, same thing for Eddie Jackson and slot cornerback Bryce Callahan's been getting a few himself. It's when that pass rush gets home consistently, or at least hurries the quarterback to his throws consistently, the defensive backs are able to play more aggressive on routes and, you know, maybe bite on what could be a double move with the chance of getting that turnover, and being able to trust that the quarterback won't have time to execute that double move and get the throw off downfield. So they're able to jump those routes and play more aggressive at the stem of the route because that pass rush gets home. But when that pass rush struggles, like we saw sometimes last week against the Giants, there's more time for the quarterback to get rid of the ball and they can be more vulnerable down the stretch. So it's about this defense being able to stay aggressive, and I guess the offense being able to stay aggressive as well.
So when you talk about the offense, how confident are you and Bears fans in Mitch coming back after 2 weeks, being a little rusty, and then coming into this, you know, very primetime game? You know, where's the confidence level with his health and then his ability to come in and perform off the bench like that?
So there was some, understanding or expectation that he could have potentially played last week against the Giants had it been, you know, say a playoff game or even probably this Rams matchup, if we're being honest. But because it was the Giants and because maybe he wasn't 100% completely, you know, they didn't want to rush him and they didn't want to force him out there against a team they probably should have beat. But coming into this game, I think there's almost no question Mitchell Trubisky will play. I think the Bears are going to be coy about it this week and not admit to the Rams fully that, hey, this is for sure going to be our guy, at least not initially. But Mitch was throwing during warmups last week and has already been throwing this week. And so I think that there's little issue with the injury coming into this game. As far as rust, you know, I think that's maybe to be expected a little bit. And it'll be hard to tell maybe some how much of that is rust versus just playing a good Rams defense and particularly a strong front pass rush there. So, you know, I think there's some room here for Mitch to potentially get some plays off against a secondary that at times has been more vulnerable than expected, but certainly not bad by any means. So, you know, I think there's going to be some rust, but I think for the most part, the Bears are just looking for him to continue to take the steps forward in development that they saw earlier this season, even if that looks a little rough at times against a defense like this.
Well, he's definitely a fun quarterback to watch, so I'm glad he's coming out healthy. And you're right, with the lead that you guys have built in your own division, it kind of allowed them to sit him for that Giants game. You know, I mean, if you had Minnesota or Green Bay or anybody on your tail there, you would have been maybe forced to, you know, start him in a, you know, not so healthy situation. But the lead that you guys were able to build in your own division kind of gave him that flexibility. As far as the Rams go for this game, some of the keys that I think are going to be important are coming out to a hot start. You know, when we talked about all these factors, playing in Chicago, the crowd, the cold, that defense, to come out and get an early lead will be huge. Put that pressure right back on Mitch to go out there and score points, because we know their defense can usually hang or keep them in a ball game. But if they get down quick and then all of a sudden is turned over to Mitch and say, hey, you know, now you're down 10, now you're down 14 at home and you haven't played in a couple weeks, what are you going to do? I think that's a big thing for the Rams to get a good start in the game. Again, we talked about it multiple times on our show here, but Sean McVay is undefeated. It's my favorite stat. Everyone that's listening, that has listened to Locked On Rams, is like, here he goes again with that stat. But he's undefeated when he wins the time of possession. And so I think if he can keep our offense on the field and, you know, take over that control of the game, because I think the Bears are going to want to do that. So if he can counter that and take control of that, I think it's going to be huge for us. And then turnovers. The Bears are crazy good at creating turnovers. And then not only creating turnovers, but creating points off turnovers. So if Mitch can't do it, their defense has definitely been able to step up and score points for the Bears. And I think that's something that Jared Goff has got to be very aware of, making sure his throws are safe throws. And he's not trying to do too much if we're in scoring position and whatnot. Todd Gurley's got to take care of the ball. And I think those are the keys for the Rams to kind of come in here and be able to, I don't want to say steal victory, but win a tough one on the road late in the year. As we kind of, you know, flip the page here and we look to wrap this thing up, let's talk some score predictions. I haven't checked as of late, and I probably should have before I jumped on here, but MyBookie, big sponsor of the show, earlier in the week, they had it at a 3.5-point favorite for the Rams. What do you think about that spread? And, you know, maybe give me a prediction if you feel comfortable enough yet to, and talk about how this game's going to look.
Yeah, I can confirm MyBookie is still at 3.5 points for this game. And I think, I mean, I would predict a Los Angeles Rams victory one way or another. I don't think, you know, as much as these two teams have been compared and, you know, the Bears are trying to get to where the Rams are, the Bears aren't yet where the Rams are. It's always kind of felt like they're still maybe, you know, a year away from you know, the experience Jared Goff has in that system and sort of the team they've been able to build around him. So it does still feel to me like the Rams are obviously the favorite team and the team that is going to win. There's just a lot stacked up against the Bears at this point. I think Chicago will keep it close, but I don't know. I would be tempted to take the Rams plus the spread there. I think they'll be able to potentially cover. I would think something along the lines of like a 31-24 Rams victory, where it ends up being about a touchdown deficit, and maybe that's either the Rams pulled away late or the Bears pulled it close late, but ultimately not quite close enough. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm glad you kind of mentioned about, you know, just a year away. You know, they're really good right now, but they might be a year away from being very comfortable in a game like this. And Andrew Whitworth, we actually played a clip yesterday on Locked On Rams about Aaron Whitworth talking about the difference between the Rams this year and last year. And he kind of had similar thoughts about last year. They were just excited to come together, Sean McVay's first year, some new guys on the team, to get to a point where they won 11 games and had a playoff at home. And that was the exciting thing. And now this year, they turn the page and they're like, they've added some more people. Expectations have increased big time. And now they feel comfortable in these games, these tough matchups to go out and win. So very similarities as far as the Rams and the Bears, as far as where these teams were now and last year. So looking forward to the Bears continuing to get better. And hopefully this is a matchup we see a lot in the NFC. But I'm with you. I think the Rams are just talent-wise are just better. I think they're kind of more suited for these games late in the year with their high offense. The defense is really coming together at a right time, getting to lead back. So I think that's going to really help. And Mitch, I think it's going to be a little rusty. And in a game like this, you saw when we played Kansas City, there's not really time to shake off rust in a game like this. You got to be 100% ready to go. And maybe he'll prove us all wrong and he'll come out on fire. And, you know, sitting him out against New York was the good thing to do. But I'm with you. I think I think we'll cover the spread, even though the Rams have really created some nightmares for us and some very high blood pressure as you're watching some of their games. So I think it's more of like I'm looking at 34-28 Rams. I'm with you as far as I think either the Bears are going to come back and make this thing close, or the Rams are going to get a late touchdown or defensive stop because Aaron Donald, that's about when he goes crazy and makes his game impacting plays. So, but I think the Bears are going to, or I think the Rams are going to win this one, cover the spread and move to 12 wins. But I'm excited to see what this Bears team has to offer moving into the future. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Go give Lauren a follow. And myself a follow, Locked On Bears, Locked On Rams. Thanks so much for doing this, Lauren. I look forward to speaking to you. And hopefully, if it works out well for both of us, maybe we're talking NFC Championship talk.
I was just going to say, maybe we'll have a playoff rematch in the works here. But that one will be almost certainly in Los Angeles. So it'll be a little bit of a different style of ball game, I imagine.
Yeah, we're going to wear shorts to that ball game, and we'll enjoy the weather a little bit more. But we'll see. Hopefully good things for you guys. And if anything, just an exciting game on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, at the very least, objectively, it should be an enjoyable football game to watch, even if the scoreboard doesn't necessarily turn out positively for Bears fans.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Lauren.
Thanks again to Brad Mader from Locked On Rams for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure you give us a subscribe on whatever podcast listening app it is that you use. That's the best way to keep up with all of our Chicago Bears news and analysis. You know, it's fitting that Brad is a guy who goes by the nickname Bear to come on and join us for a podcast like this. I mean, that's the reason, you know, even though he's covering the Rams and given that perspective, I hope he still helped give you a little bit more of a reason to bear down.